welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show with your hosts, Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Austin Brower, and I'm so glad to have you with us today. I hope everybody in the southeast area is doing good after the tropical storm kind of ran through. Most of the rain has pretty much subsided here in central Florida, but I know North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia are still getting hammered pretty hard. So hope everybody is staying safe. And, Dad, how are you doing today, bud?
Oz, I'm doing great. In fact, you know, I walked outside today, and it's still really, really humid from the rain. And now it's about 90 degrees, 95 degrees outside. And as I walked outside, I was hit in the face with this giant wave of wet air that's super overheated. And I felt like I was in a steam room with gnats. It was it was a wake up call this morning, and so I was at the office a few minutes ago getting ready for the show with you, and I can't let me tell you what happened on the way home. We're basically I'm driving your mom's SUV back to the house, and all of a sudden I'm driving, and I see a giant frog. I mean, with these giant tree frogs, you stretch them out, they're probably about 10 inches long. Jump in the I'm going 40 miles an hour down the highway. He jumps in the air. He's hiding on the right front fender, where I can't see him. He jumps into the air and lands right in the middle of the hood and splats there for a second. Doesn't like what he sees at 40 miles an hour. Jumps again and hits the asphalt on the left-hand side of the vehicle. And I thought, on any other day, that would seem strange. But for some reason, it's just a strange thing to see. I've never seen that before. When it's giant tree frogs, and I thought how weird it is, because last night when I walked outside, I heard the giant croaking of the frogs, and I thought to myself, we live in a swamp. And of course, you know, everything's soggy and wet from like 2 or 3 inches of rain that we had yesterday. But if you heard the media saying that we had a horrible, horrible time down here, we did not in Central Florida. It's just we got more rain, and again, we're prepared with generators and that kind of stuff. So it's just interesting, Austin. So, yeah. But yesterday, we talked about stress right at the end of the show, and I didn't feel as though that I had done it justice. And I want to talk about this for a second, because if you're listening to me today and you're stressed about anything, about money, about your marriage, about your job, about your life, about your relationships, about your kids, about anything, let me tell you some problems associated with stress that you guys need to know about, because this is so important. This morning I got up and I took my B vitamins with my protein shake first thing in the morning, and I took 4 B vitamins, 1 B5, B6, and I was feeling not quite right as far as energy. And about 3 hours later, the B vitamins kicked in about an hour ago. And, man, I feel great. My energy's through the roof, even with this high humidity and everything else that's going on today. I really feel good. So I'm going to have a good show with you guys today. I'm pretty sanguine today. Start off with a frog joke. It's got to be pretty funny. So I'm feeling pretty good. So here's the thing that I want to share with you about this. When you get under stress, you can have all kinds of chronic health problems. We talked about these yesterday. You can have digestive issues. You can have cancer. You can have increased risks of heart attacks. You can have increased risks of adult onset diabetes. And you can also start losing your memory. So let me cover each of these and why this happens and what you can do to prevent this. And the point is that stress will kill you. Now, it doesn't even matter if it's good stress, because like Austin, you and Atlanta just had a most beautiful little baby boy a couple months ago. He's already trying to talk, smiling already, absolutely gorgeous child. We have to put a picture of him on the website if I can see him. And I know you guys are thinking, ah, gosh, the granddaddy's talking about his grandkids. We can't take any of this. Okay, just bear with me for a second, okay? But the baby, when he was first born, didn't get the whole picture. You got to remember, when a baby first comes out of the mama, the baby's been in a dark environment in a cave, so to speak, and is pretty much blind except for lights. So the baby really doesn't see anything, and he really doesn't understand anything because his brain hasn't even started gelling up very well yet. And so they don't know anything besides loud noises and the fear of falling, and they're hungry, or they're wet, and they want to have their diaper changed, or they start getting, you know, burning from the urine that they have on their skin or their feces, which should never happen if you keep the diapers changed enough. And you're at the happiest point of your life when you're having this baby. But suddenly, you feel the fatigue and the stress. Because what happens, it doesn't matter whether an event is pleasant or not. It has the same cortical response in the brain. It releases hormones. So it doesn't matter whether stress is good or it's not good. It'll do the same thing to you. When I first started doing the seminars back in the 80s and in the 90s, and I would get in front of a group of people, and I'd have, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 people in front of me, I was elated. I was euphoric. The adrenaline was sky high. I loved it. I loved speaking in front of a stadium full of people. I thought that was the most amazing thing that God had ever allowed me to do. And the bigger the crowd, the better I got as far as speaking. And I thank God for that ability that He gave me as far as a communication skill set. And what was interesting, though, I would find when I'd get home, I'd be elated for the time I was going, elated while I was there, and I'd be elated the day I got back. But the following day, and your mom felt it too, Austin, we were both extremely fatigued. Now, we had just had a blast. We'd got to run around with limos, meet former presidents and prime ministers from all over the world, Hollywood movie stars, singing stars. It was amazing what this run was for 6-7 years with me back in the 90s, doing all of these seminars, and I got to speak to a million people at live seminars. But what happened is about 4 or 5 days afterwards, in about 3 or 4 days it would start, I would have this giant down. And the reason that would happen was not because I didn't enjoy doing what I did. It was from the, what the stress of the enjoyment had done to my body. Now, couple this with you've got a bad marriage, if someone has a bad marriage listening to me today, or you've got a bunch of teenage brats that you're trying to raise, and forgive me if you've got great kids and they wouldn't be brats, and, or you've got a problem with your job that you don't know what to do with that, or you can't pay your bills. All of this stress stays with you all of the time, and it compounds. And what it does, it puts your body into what's called a flight or fight syndrome. In other words, it's kind of like you're walking around in Africa, and we're in the cradle of life, a few thousand, 5,000, 10,000 years ago, whatever you believe that is to be. And all of a sudden, you're walking around, and you've got a spear or a bow and arrow or whatever. We're not going to talk about the high-frequency weapons that Atlantis had. We won't go into what they were doing way back when. But let's say you're running around with a spear, and all of a sudden, a tiger jumps out in front of you, or a cougar jumps out in front of you, or a bear jumps out in front of you, or some other type of wildlife, you can pick your own choice, jumps out in front of you, and you've got a choice. You've got to run, or you've got to fight. Now, you have no choice between. There's nothing in the middle. It's called a flight or fight syndrome. So at that point, immediately, your body starts dumping adrenaline. You start shunting blood to your muscles so you can run, so you can fight. And your body goes into this cortisol-induced stupor in which it's not designed to operate on an ongoing basis. So now either you survive the fight or you don't. Now, what happens is as we get older, when our body starts getting cortisol released like that, which is a stress hormone, it doesn't dissipate. So for instance, if you drink coffee first thing in the morning, you automatically release cortisol in your body. It's a stress hormone. So now your entire body, the entire day, is stressed out internally. If I drink coffee, I get real edgy and real irritable and get real hard to get along with because of my type A personality. And I remember every once in a while over the years, I'd still have a cup of coffee, and my wife would fuss at me. She goes, "You had coffee this morning." I said, "Yeah, I did." And one time, we were up in the mountains, and I had a friend of mine, Susan, had made some coffee, and I hadn't had coffee in months. And I didn't tell her to do this, but she made it like triple strength. It was like a French brew, and oh my gosh, it was good. But about an hour later, I'm like super irritable, super edgy, super angry, super mad, super everything from the cortisol. And finally, Sharon says, "Ted, you're acting like a jerk. Why are you acting like this?" And I said, "I had too much coffee." And I said, "I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to be with me either right now, but I can't get away from me." It was that bad, Austin. And so here's the problem. When you drink coffee after the age of like 30, it literally takes 2 to 3 days for the cortisol to return to normal in your body. If you're a teenager and you drink coffee, it takes 8 or 10 hours. It doesn't take that long. The older you get and the coffee that you drink, it really starts affecting your stress levels. That's why when you see people who drink a lot of coffee or who smoke cigarettes, who drink a lot of alcohol, all of these things they do, it stresses their bodies out and they start aging very, very, very quickly because of the cortisol, because of the hormones, because of the adrenaline. That's how it affects all of these other functions in the body. But it does something else. When you're in a flight or fight syndrome, your body shuts off the digestive enzymes and the blood flow to the stomach. That's why sometimes you get stressed out and you don't want to eat. You feel like you've got a knot in your stomach because you can't digest your food because your body's in a stress situation. It thinks it's about to fight a tiger and you've got a spear. And so you're all of a sudden thinking, "My gosh, I got to do something, but I don't want to eat." This is what happens when you get stressed out. Years ago, I remember, I was viciously attacked in my backyard by an attack-trained Doberman. I told you guys the story. Luckily, I was armed with a 9mm Glock, and so the story ended badly for the dog. But the crazy thing is this, and by the way, if you haven't heard that story before, that dog had already bit two people, put one of them in the hospital with over 200 stitches. And so it was a bad, bad animal, and it shouldn't have been running around loose in the neighborhood. I tried my best to get the neighbor to contain it, but he refused to do so. Thought it was funny. But the thing about it is after that was over with, my adrenaline levels were so high, I went to the gym and I worked out like an hour later, and I felt as though an anti-gravity wave had come in the gym. Now, I was so strong. But the following day, I was exhausted again because of the cortisol. So the adrenaline does what it's supposed to do in the times of an emergency or stress situation. But when you shut the stomach's digestive system off and it stops digesting nutrients because it no longer can produce that because it thinks you're in a fight, then you keep that going on an ongoing basis for an extended period of time, you lose the ability to absorb certain nutrients, particularly your antioxidants, your A, your C, your E, your selenium, and your body starts to degenerate very, very quickly. And you give cancer a hold of getting into your system when you do that, because your body's immune system starts to degenerate. And so this is what I always tell people. This is why the Bible says that love is one of the most important things that we can do. We have to love one another. We can't walk around in bitterness and anger all the days of our life, because when you're angry at somebody, I know people that are still, my brother, oh gosh, my people, I'll just tell you who it is. My brother, my dad was married before in Iowa. He got divorced, married my mom, had me and my sister. But my half-brother up in Iowa, this happened, remember, this happened like in 1950. We're talking 50, 60, 70 years ago now this happened. And my brother is still angry at my father because my father did this, my half-brother. And he's still unbelievably just a nightmare because of this happened. And finally, I told him one day, I said, look, I said, dude, I said, Dad's been dead since 1984. I said, you need to chill out. I said, you're not hurting Dad. You're only hurting yourself because of the cortisol. And he said, all kinds of health problems from this. And I said, you're only hurting yourself because of the excess cortisol. When you have bitterness and anger towards someone else, and you're angry at them all of the time, and you're always saying, I hate so-and-so. I don't want to listen to so-and-so. I can't believe they did me wrong. I can't believe it. If you're doing that all the time, you can do all that. But what it's going to do, it's going to cost you. And these folks that you're mad at are either dead or at home with the covers pulled over their head, sleeping like a baby, probably forgot all what they did to you, and now you're still angry about it. You can't do that. You got to let go, and you got to let God have it, because it will cause you to stop digesting your food properly, and it will cause you to come down with degenerative diseases, particularly arthritis and cancer and heart disease, and also the problems associated with your stomach with ulcers. So guys, walk away from it. Just let it go. Let it go, because it doesn't matter. I mean, you got to give it the 10-second thought. Okay, here's a 10-second thought. Is this going to matter in 20 years from now? And chances are nobody's even going to remember it in 20 years. Let it go. Let it drop. Leave it alone. Put it in God's rest and let God have it. Take your B vitamins in the morning, because your body burns through them like crazy when you're under stress. Take your vitamin C. Take your D. Take your iodine. Take all the things that we know that are great for folks that are living under stress. If you absolutely loathe your job and you hate it, dude, this isn't a practice session, man. This is your life. Get a job you're going to like doing. Don't stay in a field that you hate. I mean, especially if you're young. I mean, if you're 55 or 60 years old, you got 5 years from retirement, and you hate what you've done for 25 or 30 years, well, sometimes you got to choke out the last 5 years to get your retirement out of the deal, but then do something you like. But guys, listen to me. If you're in college or you're young right now, and you're your teenager years, you're in your 20s, and you've got a choice to be in something that you really want to be in, you want to be in a profession that you want to be in and love it all of your life, do what rings your bell. Do what gives you passion. I love what I do with Health Masters. I've been doing this for 35 years since I got out of graduate school at Florida State. I mean, I loved it. I also loved being a college professor. I must admit that. I really enjoyed that too. That would be my secondary professor and by my profession if I had a choice of doing it. And I think I'd really enjoy being an attorney too. But that's a pretty negative profession, because somebody's already always winning and losing. I just think I'd be very good at it. But the thing about it is, guys, look, if you don't know what to do, take some classes in some areas in the local university or college that you kind of want to figure out what you enjoy doing. But now, secondly, try to make sure you like something that you, or you have it as a hobby, but you got to find something that you want to do, especially if you're a kid or a young adult, that's going to be able to provide an income for you and your family for the rest of your life. Remember, you know, we don't want to be on Obamacare. We don't want to be on EBT cards. We don't want to be doing any of that stuff, because some of the cards aren't working again around the country. I just watched a video of a black lady who went completely berserk because her EBT card didn't work, and she tore up the entire store because she couldn't get free food. So, guys, listen to me. You don't want to live like that. You don't want to find yourself driving what you don't want to drive, living where you don't want to live, being married to who you don't want to be married to, and have this miserable life and then wonder, oh my God, I hope it's going to be ending soon. I mean, are you kidding me? It's like people who are the, thank God it's Friday. Are you kidding me? Are you going to say when your life is over, thank God it's over? Don't live like that. Live with gusto. Live with zeal. Live with directions and goals and just enjoy what you do. And just appreciate what God's done for you and thank Him and pray to Him every single day. It'll change your life. Okay, Austin, that's my ridiculously long introduction. What's your first story?
That was an excellent introduction, bud. That was really, really good. I hope everybody can at least take something away from that, because there's pretty valid points and all that. And listen, guys, I mean, he's just giving you, this is just straight up advice. I mean, it's just, that was off the cuff. He didn't tell me he was going to do that earlier. So, I mean, this is really interesting stuff, but it's really accurate stuff. And you need to understand that it's really important. And this ties me into this article that I had right here. It's from the JAMA Oncology Journal, and they found that new cases of cancer could drop by 20 to 40%, and cancer-related deaths could drop by half by adopting a healthier, stress-free lifestyle. I mean, I didn't even know he was going to talk about this. This article goes right into this exact thing. Researchers from Massachusetts General Hospital analyzed extensive ongoing studies where they assessed the healthy lifestyle patterns and cancer incidence of 136,000 American healthcare professionals. They were divided into two groups, a low-risk group who lived a healthy lifestyle and a high-risk group that did not. And they based it off specific things as far as smoking, high stress, drinking, staying fit, exercising, managing your weight. And the numbers, they compiled all the data at the end, and they found that for women, an estimated 41% of cancer cases and 59% of cancer deaths were completely preventable with lifestyle choices. For men, they stated that 63% of cancer cases were preventable and 67% reduced the risk of death on the data that they got. And this is just basic stuff, you know, exercising regularly, eating the right foods, reducing your stress, taking proper supplements, not smoking, not drinking alcohol. And if you do have to drink, drink in very, very, very moderate occasion and small amounts for a, you know, specific reason. But this just, I mean, this is what this article says right here, and it's very, very accurate. It's the same thing Dad just said on there. So I'm glad I had a segue into that article, because I had a great intro for it.
Oh, thank you, Austin. Oh, and by the way, this is what I believe, and this is how I feel. That was not scripted. There's no teleprompter in my office, and I did not read any of it. I had that one article in front of me, which gave four things, and that's all. I read the highlights of that, or just the titles of that, and went everything else. And the reason I'm able to do that is this program's real. Okay, this is not a teleprompted mess. Okay, this is not President Obama going when he goes off teleprompter. Okay, this is not me. This is not Austin. Okay, we don't do that. We tell you the truth. Now, a lot of you may not like our version of the truth, and that's okay. A lot of you love our version of the truth, and thank you for that. But the thing is, I'm not going to sit here and say something that's not true. I mean, I can't. This is internalized within me. If I could not internalize what I just told you, there's no way I could do a 15-minute presentation on that like that off the top of my head. This is how I live. This is what I believe. And this is why I want you to understand that this show that we do, it's a ministry for us. We want you guys to know that there are people out there like you that are going to tell the truth and who are awake, and that we can all come together and we can coalesce as a group on the Ted and Austin Brower Show every day, and we can give you our opinions and our views of why the world is the way the world is and how to correct it. See, without looking at it from a correction standpoint, without understanding the power of prayer and how the prayer is a scalar wave and it changes the interdimensional fabric of time when you pray, without understanding all of that and tying it back together from a spiritual standpoint, then we lose hope. Because without God, without Jesus Christ, there is no hope. And we have to have hope, because greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. Remember, Lucifer is the one who's in the world. The Holy Spirit is within us, and He allows us to take authority over all of these things. That's why Hillary Clinton is now becoming the subject of late-night comedians. And that's it. When that happens to you, you have no credibility. When they do entire monologues for 15 minutes on Hillary Clinton and why no one believes her because she's such a liar, at that point in time, the lady has no credibility. And there's a really high probability, because I think it's July the 26th, the superdelegates vote in the Democratic primary, and there's a high probability some of these guys are going to shift over and not pledge their support to Hillary after all and go with Bernie Sanders. Because putting Hillary Clinton in to the Democratic, not the president for the presidency, is suicide for the Democratic Party. And don't get me wrong, I don't like Hillary. I mean, you guys know that. She's a known witch. She talks to dead people. I mean, okay, there's nothing I can say about her that's positive, all right? Bernie Sanders, okay, I know he's a communist. We got that, okay? We got that. But he's pretty likable. He's a pretty likable guy. And at least he's out there telling the truth about the banks and about Wall Street. And I admire him doing that, because a lot of the stuff that he talks about, Donald Trump talks about too, and says that we've got to change it. So, Bernie Sanders listeners, if you're out there listening to me right now, which you may or may not be, probably not, listen to me for a second. You don't want to vote for Hillary. And if Bernie or bust, that's a pretty good attitude, buddy. I saw that on the show yesterday. You got to stay away from these people that are total nutbags like Hillary Clinton. So, yeah, I'll stop right there. Austin, go ahead. What's your next story?
Well, this is interesting. Now, apparently, it's becoming very common. Then, they're proud of it. All these individuals that are basically illegals, they're calling themselves undocumented. Is what that means, and they're openly bragging about it now. They're posting all this stuff on Twitter, I'm assuming because of how much coverage this stuff has gotten that with Trump and the border and the wall and immigration and all this stuff now. They're bragging about these multi-hundred-thousand-dollar scholarships they're getting. And then they also add in there that I'm also undocumented. So it's almost this fad now that these guys are proud and they're shoving it in our faces. Here's just a couple ones right here that I pulled offline. This kid tweets on here, ranked 9th, 4.0 GPA, $282,000 awarded in scholarships, UPenn 2020, and I'm also undocumented. And then he puts a bunch of Mexican flags beside it. Another Twitter feed on here. Where's it at? To introduce myself, my name is Joas, and I'm undocumented, graduating the top 10% of my class, and I got over a $30,000 scholarship for college. Good for you. This kid here, ranked 70th, 3.6 GPA, 185,000 in scholarships, NHS, magna cum laude, first year leader, and I'm undocumented. And there's multiple ones of these all online. So these kids are getting these multi-hundred-thousand-dollar scholarships, and they're not even legal residents of the United States. They're completely undocumented. Now, I'm not against giving people scholarships for really good grades and really good effort, but the thing what they're doing now is they're intentionally trying to almost provoke the American public with this, because they're clearly stating on here, I'm undocumented. They're putting it there in bold and then putting Mexican flags beside it. If they're getting a huge scholarship, good for them. Great. That's awesome. Congratulations. But they're now trying to shove it in our faces by saying, basically, I'm not even legal here, and I'm getting a $282,000 scholarship to go to college, and I'm undocumented. So I have a real problem with that, especially from the behavior that I've seen in San Jose and other parts of California in the last couple weeks, and how these individuals over there that primarily in the videos from what I've seen are all Hispanic descent, and they're treating Trump supporters incredibly bad, throwing eggs at them, punching them, beating them. So I got a real issue with all this. So I wanted to address that today and let you guys know how I feel about it. If you agree with me, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. But I just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention now, that this is what we have going on. We have this giant rift that's being built between this country, and I'm not sure what to do about it, because it's definitely getting worse really fast.
Okay, let me address this. This is interesting to me. Number one, some of the hardest workers I've ever known are illegal immigrants out of Mexico. Okay, I'm just telling you guys straight up. Now, what happens most of the time, these illegals come over and they grab an anchor baby or whatever, or the anchor baby comes over, and then many times they excel academically. I've seen it repeatedly.
and they end up with a 3.6, 3.8 GPA, and they're applying for scholarships. And, of course, they're applying as Hispanic, which makes them a minority, which makes them have the first tier of the scholarship money that we have available in the United States. Now, the problem is not the first generation. Usually it's the second generation, and this is what I've seen with Hispanics, but not all of them. And I've seen it with Germans, and I've also seen it with anybody who comes over this country that's not first generation. Within a couple of generations, a lot of them end up being on the entitlement programs. And I've seen this across the board. And so these people that are really, really working hard, and they have these 3.6, or they're graduating magna cum laude and all that, and they're undocumented immigrants, listen to me. Just shut up. Shut up and be happy that you're in the United States. Shut up and be happy you're getting a free vacation from the United States taxpayers, and become a citizen of the United States and become documented. Just shut up rubbing this in our faces that you think we're so stupid that we don't know what's going on. I mean, it's the height of arrogance and blatant hypocrisy for you to take the money from a country that's given you this type of education and this type of opportunity and ridicule us for it. So just shut up. Be happy you're smart. Be happy you worked hard. Be happy your parents dragged you here or you got across the border, and just let it go. But don't rub our noses in it. Nobody likes to be put in the corner and have somebody put a stun baton to them. Sooner or later, you're going to stun baton the wrong person, and you're going to get in trouble. And your scholarship's going to go away, and Penn State or University of Pennsylvania is going to cancel that scholarship, and you're going to find yourself back where you don't want to be, doing what you don't want to do, living where you don't want to live. So just shut up. Now, you say, well, I can't believe you're telling people to shut up. Look, I've had enough of this. I think Austin has too. Be blessed. My mother came over here in 1952. She couldn't speak a word of English from war-ravaged Germany, which was still in an unbelievable mess 7 years after the war. My father went to Germany. He met her. They got married. He spoke German because both his parents were from Germany. He brought her back over here. My mother and I were born. My sister and I were born here in 1955. My mom had to take classes on the Constitution of the United States. She had to take it and do an exam on it. She had to learn and memorize all kinds of stuff. She had to learn English. Then she was allowed to become an American citizen. Now, guys, that's the way it's supposed to work. And my mom was probably, my dad and my mom both are two of the hardest working people I've ever seen in my entire life. My mom routinely worked 70, 80 hour weeks. I did the same thing when we started Health Masters back in 1981. Routinely 70, 80, 90 hour weeks. It didn't make any difference. You know, in Germany, we were taught, du musst immer arbeiten. You must always work. That's what it means. And it's part of what we do with life. So if you're that hard of a worker and you're an undocumented illegal immigrant, be happy you're here and shut up. Stop putting us in the corner and putting a stun baton to us, or it's fixing to go negative for a whole bunch of you guys. Leave it alone. Let it drop. Just don't talk about it. That's how I feel, Austin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
very well
said. Yeah. Let me tell you, here's a story out of Jezero Hedge. Apparently, a couple of the sailors over there, we have 18,600 sailors stationed in basically Japan because they're still one of our satellite states. We've never released them from not having troops there after World War II. And so the sailors have killed somebody in an accident or injured somebody. And so now the U.S. Department of Navy has decided that sailors can no longer drink alcohol in Japan when they're on leave. Now, let me explain something to you. Unless a sailor, which I've known a bunch of them, unless they're saved and born again, they drink alcohol. To say to a sailor, you can't be a person who drinks. I mean, two things sailors do that I've noticed, that I've known a bunch of them. They drink a lot and they cuss a lot. And I've seen it repeatedly. You know, because my mom had this guy, we had cottages on a fish camp that was behind the German beer garden tavern that she had. And we had like 8 or 9 cottages back there. We had one cottage, it was number 3. In fact, this is like the only one still standing. And there was a guy named Roy Edwards, may he rest in peace. And he lived in that cottage for years and years and years. Now, Roy was interesting because he was a drunk. You know, he got out of the Navy, he just kept drinking. And what was interesting about him, though, every morning, and what I liked about Roy was he always told you what he thought, and he always told the truth. And he always had his bed made every morning, and his cottage was always spotless.
because he'd been trained to do that in the Navy, but he was always drunk. And finally he moved away and got sober and got cleaned up, and then later on he died, you know, may he rest in peace. But the point is, he was a sailor. It was the filthy language and the alcohol. So guys, to tell a sailor that they can't drink, are you kidding me? Why do we have 18,600 sailors in Japan anyhow? Why are they even there? Why do we have troops over there? Why are we paying to have this presence in all these different countries, in over 100 countries around the world? Why are we having troops there? Donald Trump is right. If Japan wants our troops there, let Japan pay for our troops. Let them pay all of the overhead to maintain the ships and to feed these guys. Let them pay for it. But don't make us the taxpayer go into deficit spending to pay for this never-ending global empire building that the United States has been engaged in now for the past 50, 60 years. What do you think, Oz?
Well, yeah, that's the first thing I thought of when you said 18,000. I had no idea that we had that many military personnel still stationed over there. And, I mean, if you just do basic math, say, I mean, that all of them are E3, E4, you know, which is average salary around $30,000 to $32,000 a year. You're not talking about officers or anything. You're talking about all of them are basically, you know, low-level enlisted. You're looking at over $576 million a year just in salary that you're paying for those military personnel to be over there. I think you're exactly right. Same thing Trump said. If Japan wants us there for support and security, I think they need to foot the bill, or they can just pay to have private contractors come in and have fun with them and see how Blackwater treats them. Because our military, I promise you, is much more nice, much, much more respectful than private contractors are going to be for them over there. So, yeah, I don't know why they're telling them they can't drink in the first place. I mean, if they're on leave, they're on leave. And secondly, I don't know why we have 18,000 military personnel over there. That's
well, we have 50,000 in South Korea, 50,000 troops stationed in South Korea.
Yeah.
They've been there since the 50s. I mean, it's like the height of insanity. And the Koreans, the South Koreans, are always having demonstrations wanting us to leave. And you know what I would do? I would leave. If I was president, I'd say, you know what? We're going to go ahead and pull you guys out of South Korea now. We're going to go ahead and we're going to filter this thing. In fact, I wouldn't even do that. I wouldn't even filter it down. I'd say, everybody, we're sending in the transport. We're going to have you out of there within a week. You're done. We're out of here. Leave everything behind. They can take it over. They can just do whatever they want to do. It's what we do anyhow. We leave all of our military supplies and our guns and ammo in these dumps, ammo dumps behind when we leave. The United States military doesn't like shipping that home. They like to buy it more, you know, and spend ridiculous amounts of money for it. Just let the South Koreans have their own little military force go in there and take care of it and hope this North Korea doesn't invade them. That's what I would say. And I'd say, by the way, if North Korea decides they're going to come in and invade you guys, let us know how it works out for you. That's what I'd tell them. I'd say, we're not going to be back. We're done. But that's what I would do.
Yeah.
See, this is that libertarian mindset that I have. Okay, I don't care, you know, what most people do in their lives. As long as it doesn't impact or affect me, I don't care. But when it's going on with, when we're building these empires, like Ron Paul says, all around the world, and like Donald Trump says, and we're footing the bill, and we're doing it through debt, you know, that's why I got into a big discussion the other day on Doug Hagman's show, I think it was like a month ago, and I said, look guys, I don't have a bit of problem supporting Israel or supporting other countries if the United States was prosperous like it used to be, and we had a giant surplus in our trade, and we had a balanced budget. I'm good with all that. I mean, if we need to give money out to countries that need help, but Israel doesn't need our help. Israel is a fiefdom of the Rothschild Empire. I mean, the Rothschilds, gosh, they're worth quadrillions of dollars. I mean, they can support Israel all they want. They don't need our money going in and supporting Israel. Now, you say, well, that makes me angry. You don't want to support. I believe we should pray for Israel. I believe we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I believe that Israel is going to factor into the end times. But I believe that God doesn't need our support in things that he is going to bring into the end times. I don't believe that. I believe God's going to do what God wants to do. You know, I got a news flash for you. I mean, he is God. He's going to do what he wants. Now, we can pray. We may be able to slow down the end time coming, because it says even when Jesus was asked when it was going to happen, he says only the Father knows. And I believe that if we repent as a nation and we get on our knees and we pray and we ask God to basically give us a reprieve, say, look, God, give us another 50 years, whatever. I believe that God, with his divine glory and right, can do that if enough of the people in America do it. But we're too worried about guys running into the women's bathroom or boys playing on the women's football teams or soccer teams or track teams. I mean, we're too worried about transgender issues. We've taken all of this stuff the media has given us, and we've allowed them to skew our perception the way they want us to see it, rather than looking at the real causes.
And Donald Trump, that's one thing I'll give this guy credit for, and I'll give him credit for a lot of things, is that he is really direct and very clear, and he stays on point. Let's make America great again. See, that's what we have to do. We have to restore the United States, Austin, and we're not going to do it by continuing to foot the military bills for 100 different countries around the world. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Can't afford it. Country's got to build itself back up again. All right.
No,
what's your next story, buddy?
Not as much. Yeah, especially as much debt as we're accruing every year. It doesn't work that way. There's an article now with United Nations. Again, I talked about them yesterday. These guys are just... If you want to know about the United Nations, go on their website and just start reading some of the stuff that they support and they want to do. They had another summit meeting last week, I think, where it was on here, and they're adopting a global action plan, and they're demanding a planetary education regime to transform children around the world into global citizens. This is not a joke. This is what they want all the countries that are in the United Nations to basically adopt. Same thing with their UN arms treaty. They want everybody to follow their order like they own us. It says in here, among other elements, that means the UN-directed global education must promote integrated development of the whole person, including the formation of their ethics, values, and spirituality, the final document declared. The Global Citizenship Program, with definitions to be incorporated worldwide, should also indoctrinate children so that they understand the responsibilities to protect the planet and promote what the UN and its member governments consider to be the common good. This is a controversial action plan that was approved by the UN's Department of Non-Governmental Organizations on June 1st, and it's helping the UN impose its Agenda 2030 scheme to transform the world. This is exactly where everything is going, a global government. This is what the UN's supporting. This is what they're building. They want to make all the kids, this younger generation that's coming up underneath us, they want to completely dictate and control and brainwash them into thinking that a global government, global control, and that everything is for the common good of everybody. There is no individuality anymore. So it's just another article on the UN, since I like bringing those guys up because they're just absolutely horrific.
You know, it reminds me of that movie that was back in the 90s. It was called Starship Troopers. Remember that? And they said, you need to become a global citizen. You have to become part of the global initiative, become a citizen. And you had to do all this. You had to work in the military, and pretty much a bunch of them ended up dying because they were taught the propaganda that was constantly being pumped into their schools and high school to go and serve the globe, the planet. You know, guys, listen to me for a second. Okay, there should be a global initiative. I got that. It should be to look at Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of this planet. That should be the global initiative. You know, missionary work or whatever. I got no problem with that. But trying to make you a global 2030 citizen of the UN, this is back to Nazism. This is right back to fascism. This is right back to the Hitler Youth. This is giving me the minds and the hearts of the youth. Well, here's something I want to tell you. This is interesting. You know, Roger Stone now is having to do more damage control because apparently Hillary's group is now saying that Donald Trump is gay. Okay? Okay. Let me give everybody a real quick clarification on this. Donald Trump is not gay. Okay? He is not gay. He is anything but gay. Being gay has never been part of his behavioral repertoire. Dating really, really good-looking models when he was between wives and having three really pretty wives, that's pretty much part of his behavioral repertoire. The reason they're saying that he's gay is they're trying to say everything they possibly can to distract the voters who are weak-minded enough to believe this nonsense. Marco Rubio was gay. He was Hollywood, Florida's bubble boy in the bubble boy parties, okay? Marco Rubio is gay, or was gay. Maybe he's no longer gay and he's married with kids. I don't know. He was gay back in college. That's just a fact. That's just the way life works. Marco Rubio is not Donald Trump. Look at his posturing. Look at his personality. The man is not gay. Look at his wives, for heaven's sakes, that he had, and all of his kids. The man is not gay. So the fact that Hillary Clinton's group is getting this low on the totem pole as far as things that they're bringing out blows my mind. But since we're on the gay issue, let me make another comment about this.
Now we're seeing that a large percentage of the Bernie Sanders voters are pro-lesbian gay. Got it. I'm not saying that they're gay or they're lesbians. I'm just not, they're pro all that. But here's the thing. Think about this, all of you little effeminates. Now, I know a lot of you, it wasn't your fault because you were basically chemically castrated in utero. I got all that. But if we bring all of this stuff together and the military becomes gay and all of these things happen at once, I guarantee you, you're going to have a much more difficult time in hand-to-hand combat if the country gets invaded. Now, I'm just letting you guys have a newsflash. You know, you need to be in the gym working out. You need to be in the gym doing all these things. But the globals have done this to the United States on purpose. They sissified the nation. They sissified it. And that's what now politically correct means, you've got to be sissified. Now, that's nonsense, but that's what they wanted to do. Because the testosterone-dripping men that hit the beaches of Normandy, they weren't gay, okay? That doesn't exist. Those words didn't go together back then. They don't want that group of men any longer in the United States. These interdimensional beings that run this planet, the demons and the horrible things that Satan and Lucifer and all the stuff that's been running around for eons of time, okay, they want to destroy everything God made. These are the guys that are pulling the strings. These are the guys that are involved in all of this stuff. That's what's interesting to me about all of this stuff. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. God is still having his truth be shown. We haven't had a legitimate presidential candidate in the United States since Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan was shot a month into his presidential office, its first term. Okay, George Bush took over. Then the Bush, George H. was the president. Then we had Clinton. Then we had George W. Then we've got Obama. All of this is the same fabric of the CIA. All of it. Every bit of it. Clinton was a joke. He was a stooge. Okay? But Carter was a joke. He was a stooge. Ford, he just carried over for Nixon. And Nixon in the history books was not that bad of a guy. He really, really didn't like it when he was at Bohemian Grove. Kennedy. Ah, now there's the final president, the last president that we've really had in the United States, who was a real man, who had his PT-109 shot out from underneath him and wrote Profiles in Courage and had an epiphany and thought, my gosh, there's this secret society that's operating through covert means. He said it in his own speech to the newspapers that we got to expose before I get out of office. He was the real deal. John F. Kennedy, Democrat. He was the last true testosterone dripping man we had in the White House. He was a soldier in World War II. He was the real deal. And he was a Democrat. And how far the Democrat Party has fallen with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton as the only two people they can bring in and show their voters to vote for. How sad is all of this, Austin? What do you think?
It really is. It is. I mean, it just shows you, though, what the agenda has done.
That's right.
Over the last 40 to 50 years, because this mm-hmm. has been the plan of the globalists, is to completely soften the United States.
That's
it's
right.
The soft kill. It's to weaken everybody. It's to weaken the economy. It's to weaken the aggression. It's to weaken the overall, you know, stunt, so to speak, of the American population. The same thing with the fluoride agenda. All this stuff, it's been the soft kill. So that way, when they start implementing this 2030 UN agenda, they want to have very, very, very little pushback from it. And at the rate they're going right now, if we keep doing what we've been doing, and basically, you know, transgendering the United States, stripping our military, spreading them out across the globe, completely breaking down the moral fabric of this country in another 14 years, I mean, it's going to be difficult to say that the UN won't even be able to push it and have any pushback, because that's where we're going now.
No, that's exactly right. Here's another story. We'll go back to the health front. Too much calcium isn't good for your bones. This article is telling us that basically we need to be taking in calcium from plant sources and from dairy products. They're absolutely right. They're saying around 275 to 780 milligrams a day for men, only from natural plants and dairy products. That's it. No calcium supplements. Now, I'm going to tell you this again, and I can't tell you this any more direct than this. Okay, the only reason that Health Masters carries calcium supplements are for women who are osteoporotic in that category and they're concerned about their calcium levels. Men
should never take a tableted calcium. I don't care if you mix it with magnesium, whatever you do with it. I don't care. You don't need it. You don't need to eat it. That's the best. There's all kinds of difference, like 8 or 9 different types of calcium. But the truth is, men don't need supplemental calcium. It causes hardening of the arteries, and it causes a massive increased risk of heart disease and, you know, and strokes and heart attacks. The best type of calcium you're going to get is from raw certified goat's milk or raw certified cow's milk, making sure it's organic, or from green leafy vegetables. You don't need huge amounts of calcium in your diet every day. It's going to end up in your soft tissue and in your arteries, causing hardening of the arteries. That's why you don't need to drink mineralized water that's loaded with calcium and other minerals. You don't need that. Those are inorganic forms of minerals. They're basically ionic minerals. They're very difficult for the body to use, so the body doesn't know what to do with them, so it stores it in its soft tissue, the joints and the arteries, the tissues, bone spurs, heel spurs, all of these things. Make sure you use magnesium chloride as a foot soak every single day. I do every morning for 30 minutes. We have it at healthmasters.com. It's the best way to take magnesium is to do it transdermally. That's the best way. Now, if you don't want to do that, we do have some excellent magnesium products that you can take, but be careful with it because they can cause diarrhea, so you can't even get too many of them. But the best way to take magnesium is in the form of magnesium chloride as a foot soak. Calcium for men, no, no, and no. I can say that again, no, no, and no. I have another friend of mine, I just did a talk show with him a few weeks ago, and I hadn't been on with him for 10 years, and he was taking all of these supplements that had calcium carbonate as binding agents. And he ended up with a massive heart attack, had to have a 5-way bypass surgery, and he ate clean. The problem is he was taking all of these supplements that contained calcium carbonate. So he starts telling me, well, I had this problem, I had to have a bypass surgery, all of this stuff. He's telling me how clean he eats. And I said, look, it's got to be your supplements. You're probably taking a tableted form of supplements. See, Health Masters, the primary supplements that we use, unless they're sustained release, we use a cellulose gel cap, the highest quality we can get. Cellulose, it's made out of plant fiber. And it's powder in capsules with no binding agents. And what that allows it to do, it allows that nutrient to be absorbed directly, almost immediately into your small intestine once it gets past your stomach. Because it opens up and dissolves. The calcium, the tablet actually, the capsule dissolves. Most tablets of calcium, if you can get them to break down, they're covered in a shellac coating, and they basically get into your intestinal tract if they even break down at all, and they're absorbed as ionic calcium, and they end up hardening the arteries and causing joint problems. Always make sure whatever you do, you take the majority of your supplements either in liquid, in capsules, or liquid in capsules. You can do that. That means that if you'd like a cod liver oil in a capsule, make sure that the capsule is pork-free. That's really important, that it's not gelatin. And also make sure that it dissolves quickly, even if you put it in a glass of water, that it breaks apart. And don't take anything with calcium carbonate as a binding agent. Don't take any of that. That's not something you want to put into your body at all. And don't take cheap Walmart or Chinese supplements that are all bound together with calcium carbonate. Because I told this man that when I was on a show. I said, chances are, and he gave me the name of the company. I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's an online Christian company that sells a whole bunch of these supplements. And I said to him, I said, I don't know the product. If you've had this problem, I guarantee you a bunch of these binding agents are calcium carbonate. And I looked it up after the show, Austin, and almost every one of his products use calcium carbonate as a binding agent. That's bad. That's the kind of stuff that I pull out of my water distiller that you can watch online. The hard, hard calcium looks like concrete that builds up on the inside of hot water heaters, and it builds up on the side of your arteries, causes hardening of the arteries. It's been proven over and over and over again. So guys, don't take calcium supplements, period. If you need a little bit of calcium, green leafy vegetables, some raw certified organic goat's milk or cow's milk. Excellent alternative. What's your next story on? Or do you have a comment on that?
No, absolutely. I mean, and just look at it this guys. Calcium carbonate is basically rock. Are you guys going to go outside and pick up a piece of gravel and start chewing on it, you know, and say, oh, I'm going to try and get my calcium in today, try and swallow a piece of, you know, calcium carbonate gravel? That's essentially what they're doing. That's what they do with this stuff. They take rock and they powder it up, and it makes a very, very good binding agent. It solidifies very well, especially when you put some type of shellac coating. So he's absolutely right on that. This is a new article now. More and more research is showing a potential solution for autistic individuals with insomnia for melatonin usage. A handful of studies have focused on melatonin and its role in helping those with autism overcome sleeplessness, with results being quite favorable thus far. This is from Natural Society. And I thought this was pretty interesting. That's why I want to address it today. The one study abstract had this to say. Supplemental melatonin improved sleep latency as measured in most children at 1 or 3 milligram dosages. It was effective in week 1 of treatment, maintained effects over several months, was well tolerated, safe, and showed improvements in sleep, behavior, and parenting stress. Our findings contribute to the growing literature on supplemental melatonin for insomnia and ASD and inform planning for a large trial in this population. Another article here. 6 studies reported that the nighttime administration of exogenous melatonin was associated with better daytime behavior. 4 studies reported improvements in melatonin supplementation when other sleep medications had previously failed. Adverse effects of melatonin were minimal to none in 20 treatment studies. Now, you guys have to understand, guys, if you're not sleeping well, it plays a huge role in every aspect of your life. I saw this, and granted, I've been up nights before in college and stuff like that. About a month and a half ago, 7 weeks ago, actually, when I had my first son with Lana, I started to realize all about really, really, really harsh sleep deprivation. Because there was a good amount of time when we were trying to get him dialed in. As Dad said before, he doesn't care what you're doing. He doesn't care if you're sleeping. If he's hungry, he's going to cry. If he's got a diaper, he's going to cry. And it's just part of it. Everybody's got a kid. You know, the first couple weeks of it are interesting. And I started realizing my mental energy, my focus, everything started draining really fast on 2 to 3 hours of sleep a night. So I understand what this is saying. And a lot of times, autistic children have a very difficult time sleeping. And a lot of times, so what they're saying is now, because they were able to enhance their sleep and get them into the REM sleep and help them sleep all night, they had a better mood, they had better time concentrating, and a better overall, says right here, parenting stress was decreased. So that's an option for you guys. Just throwing it out there. These are what these articles are saying. And also remember, too, a couple different options. In for autistic kids or yourself, make sure the room's completely dark. Dad and I have talked about this before. Unless there's a specific reason you need lights on, don't have 20 different lights on, night lights all over the place. The pineal gland can only function 100% when it's in complete darkness. That also means Wi-Fi frequency as well. It emits, basically, the pineal gland sees Wi-Fi. It sees it. You won't see it, but it sees the Wi-Fi waves. So those are a couple different things. Obviously, making sure you're drinking distilled water, keeping the pineal gland clean, you know, not calcifying it with fluoride, and making sure, you know, you reduce your caffeine if you're using it. I don't prefer to use caffeine. But if you are, remember, guys, caffeine has a half-life of about 6 hours. So if you're using caffeine products later on in the afternoon, it is going to affect your sleep. Regardless, I've heard people say, oh, I drink a cup of coffee and go right to bed. You may be able to do that. That's fine. But I'm telling you right now, as Dad was saying at the beginning of the show, what it does to your body as far as increasing cortisol, you may not feel it because you're used to it because you've done it for so long. It is going to have a negative effect on your overall sleep. So those are just a few tips on there. And the melatonin that we carry is 3 milligram sublingual lozenges. They dissolve under your tongue, work really good, get in your bloodstream really fast. They're pretty cheap. I mean, we use a good natural plant-based melatonin. It works really well. I think they're $14.99 a bottle. They sell, I mean, they're always selling off the shelves. They're very popular. So, I mean, you can check those out at healthmasters.com. If you get them, you know, try them out, see if you like them. But I promise you, a lot of people get really good results from them. And now we're seeing that autistic kids can really benefit from them as well. So that's another reason to give it a shot.
No, you're absolutely right. And what Austin meant by the fact that your pineal gland, the pineal gland sees Wi-Fi as light, L-I-G-H-T. It sees it as an energy wave, and it can't differentiate between light and an energy wave. So it goes through into your skull, and it actually stops the melatonin release. That's why it's so important. Like, I've got a phone beside me, my bed. The stupid thing wants to blink all night. You know, it's just, it's ridiculous. I've learned, I just take a giant black, you know, hand cloth and a towel, and I lay it on top of the phone at night so it doesn't blink. Okay. And on top of that, I turn off all the lights and all the little dots and all the little lights in the bedroom. If I've got to unplug stuff, I unplug it. And I just make sure all the doors and all the windows and everything are closed, because what it does, your brain and your melatonin, your pineal gland, is designed to function in darkness.
when God designed us, you know, we didn't have, you know, all these Wi-Fi systems running around the house and all the stuff going on. You'd wake up with the sunlight, you'd go to sleep when it was dark. That's how it worked. You're on a circadian rhythm. But again, when you have Wi-Fi in the house, that's why you should unplug those routers at night, or you have a cell phone beside you in bed, don't do that. Because number one, is it's putting out a microwave beam all night. The cell phone is. It's a microwave transmitter. And what it's doing is updating. It's doing all the things that it needs to do. And what it does, it continually bombards your brain, your skull, your pineal gland with microwaves that are being looked at by your brain and your pineal gland as light. So it thinks it's time to get up. And so it doesn't want to make any melatonin. And so you go into a sleep deprivation cycle. You can't go into REM sleep, which is the rapid eye movement sleep, like you're supposed to after 4 or 5 hours. And your body's in this constant state of fatigue. So please, turn off the Wi-Fi routers. We did a study just the other day. We showed it to you guys that now the government is even saying that cell phones cause cancer. I've been telling you that for years. Any type of energy system that you put into your body, which our body, remember, our body is an energy wave. We're in a holographic projected universe of some type that God put here, that we're in the middle of this thing, and the only thing real here is our consciousness or our soul. That's it. The rest of this stuff is just an energy wave. So that's what we need to understand, is we've got to protect our body while we're in this energy wave and avoid all of the things that hurt the body, including doing things in minerals, which helps to maintain the matrix of this thing that our bodies don't need, like calcium, if we're men. As far as exogenous form, we need calcium, but we need it from fruits and vegetables and dairy products, not from tablets. So, yes, Austin's 100% right about not allowing light to come into the room. Now, here's an interesting article that just happened in South Pittsburgh. This is absolutely crazy. South Pittsburgh has decided that they're going to force everybody to remove gardens from their yards. This is unbelievable. Times Free Press says public housing residents in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, this is not Pennsylvania, have been told to remove flower and vegetable gardens from the yards. Several residents and even the town's mayor opposed the policy. I can't think about helping how devastating this is to all those who put all the years of time and love into their gardens. An 80-year-old public housing resident in South Pittsburgh said she's so sick and stressed out since she got the letter saying she was no longer allowed to have a garden. Yellow daffodils and deep pink roses are among the plants and flowers extending from her perch to the curb. You know, guys, you people in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, have nothing better to do than harass people who have gardens and flowers in their yard? This is some idiot on the council who decided to do this. Hey, guys, I'd rather have a city with beautiful flowers and gardens than an asphalt jungle. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, there's no question about it at all. Especially with the beautiful flowers, they've already shown those help reduce stress. And also, too, when you start planting other things like avocados and figs and lime trees, those are actually essential foods that you can eat. So, yeah, I'm all about gardening plants. I love them.
Yeah. Guys, thank you. Healthmasters.com. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for getting our free newsletter. You can sign up for it at healthmasters.com. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. We appreciate it. We love you guys. Hope you enjoyed the show today. We'll be back tomorrow live for the Austin and Ted Brower Show, 3 to 4 Eastern Standard Time, right here on Global Star. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys. You have a wonderful night. We'll talk to you tomorrow.